Let's turn then to John's Gospel, chapter 16, and the verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I want to speak today about the importance of the truth. Now, as you know, we've been considering the work of the Holy Spirit in the disciples, and primarily his work is one of teaching. That's the primary work of the Holy Ghost, teaching. Now, he does many other things, but they all come to this head. Everything is for teaching and instruction. That's what the Lord Jesus had been in his ministry. He was a teacher. He was a rabbi. He was master. And now he's going away and he's sending in his place another teacher. A teacher who can teach all the hearts of all God's people wherever they are in the world. And that's the Holy Spirit. So they are receiving this promise of a teacher. And what he's going to teach them is the truth. Because it says he's going to guide them into truth. And not only just truth, but all truth. He'll guide you into all truth. And that's what we need. Truth about God. Truth about ourselves. Truth about heaven and truth about hell. Truth about sin. Truth about our depravity. Truth about our redemption in Jesus Christ. All of these heavenly truths. We're talking about biblical truth. We're talking about doctrine. Theology. When we say this, the Spirit of God is interested in the truth and teaching it to us. Now, what I want to ask this morning is just, why is it so important, the truth? Why is this so important? And I want to speak about the importance of the truth this morning. Why should we see it as important? Why should we even bother ourselves about it? Why should we worry about it at all? After all, there's so many today, they're not worried about God's truth. It's not their priority. Why should we worry about it? Why don't we just enjoy life? Why don't we just eat and drink and be merry and just have fellowship and not worry about teaching? Not worry about instruction? Not worry about studying God's word? Not worry about divine truth? Why is it important at all? So I want to speak and try to impress upon you the importance of truth. There are some people who would pull the pulpit out. And there are some churches that's happened. Not in our congregations, of course, but there are some churches that's been happening. They've pulled the pulpit out and they've made a stage, just a big open stage, a platform, and they're given a message when they do that, aren't they? Now, the church is more about performance and entertainment, but it's not. It's about the truth. It's about the truth. Maybe you think truth's a bit outdated. Maybe you think verse 13's a bit outdated. Where's the fun in it? What is the response of many today to God's word? Well, the responses sometimes are several. Sometimes it's boring to people. Truth's boring. Preaching's boring. The world thinks this is so boring. Why spend time around the Word of God? To many, it's boring. That's the attitude of many to the truth. It's boring. And others have the attitude of contempt. They just have outright enmity against the truth. And outright enmity against anything that's preaching or a study of God's Word. They just hate it. Not only that it's boring, it's contemptible to them. They don't want to be guided. They don't even believe in guidance into the truth. And so they nearly gnash on you with their teeth because they have this enmity to God's word. The attitude of others is unbelief. They don't believe there's such a thing as the truth. They don't think there's anything that's real and substantial whenever Jesus says all the truth. What's that? There's no such thing. And they have this unbelief. you can't learn anything about hell. You can't really learn anything about God. He's so distant. And what can you learn about yourself? What can you learn about heaven and hell? And so they have this enmity and this contempt, and, or else unbelief. But most often it's just unconcern and lack of interest. No interest in the truth. No concern about it. A bit like Pilate. You remember Pilate's attitude whenever Jesus talked about him coming into the world and being a witness to the truth? And Pilate just said, it wasn't an investigative question, sincerely asking what is truth. It was a sort of contemptuous question. What is truth? And he just turned and he went out. He had no interest. He hadn't the time. He was busy running Palestine. He was busy seeing to the affairs of the... And he had this crisis situation in his hand where the Jews have handed him over Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he's more concerned about. What is truth? And he has just no interest, no concern. But we should, brethren and sisters. Truth should be the most important word to us. Truth. It certainly should be the main word in the pulpit. The dominant word in a ministry. But sadly, it's not the case today. You know what the dominant word today is in the pulpit? Please. Please, people. Tell them what they want to hear. The pulpit is not to please sinners, brethren and sisters. And this ministry doesn't exist to please you. Doesn't exist to please you. It exists to tell you all the truth. That's why it exists. And that's what this pulpit should be identified by. Teaching all the truth. All the counsel of God. So it ought to be the dominant word in the pulpit. And if the church is anything, it's not the guardian to make sure people are happy. It's the guardian of one thing. All the truth. The truth of God. That's what it's a guardian of. Because that's what men need. That's what you need and I need. We need the truth. So it's important. And I want to establish that this morning. It's important for a number of reasons. First of all, it's important to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to Him. It's something that's on His heart. If you just consider these words of Christ, you realize that this is something that's important to Him. This is something that He wants us to have. He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all truth. That's what He wants. That's why He sends the Spirit of God. Because it's important to the Lord Jesus that we be guided into all truth. And if there were no other reasons... And we're going to give other reasons. But if there were no other reasons, that would be reason enough. If it's important to Jesus, it's important to us. If He thinks it's vital, then it is vital. If He thinks it's essential, then it is essential. So if it's important to Him, it's important to us. This is the last night, I remind you, the farewell talk with his disciples. And what's upon his heart? The truth. And you remember how he even prayed about it later on? He prays about the truth that would be in them and that it would sanctify them. So it's very important to the Lord Jesus. It's on his heart, this truth. They've been taught faithfully for 3 years, but they have so much more to learn and they have so much more to hear, and he wants to make sure they hear it, and so he is sending the Holy Spirit for this very thing. So it's important to Jesus. But then another reason is, its importance is seen in the one who he sends. Who does he send? He sends the Holy Spirit about this matter. He sends the Holy Spirit to guide into the truth. So not only does the Lord have a concern for our guidance into all truth, but he's careful to send the very best to do it. He sends the Holy Ghost. He sends the very Spirit of truth. He calls them that. He sends the Spirit of truth to do it. There's an old saying, you don't send a boy on a man's work. And you don't send a novice in an area of great concern. And if the building's important to you, you get the best architect and you get the best builder for your building. And truth is so important to Jesus Christ, and all truth getting into the hearts of his people, that he sends the best. He sends the Holy Ghost himself. He sends the author of truth himself, the Spirit of the Lord. He sends the best. So it must be important if he sends the best. Guidance into truth is so vital a matter. The one he sends must come from heaven. And the one he sends must himself be truth. He's the Spirit of truth. And the one he sends must be God. He doesn't send an angel. And he doesn't send unaided men. Yes, he uses men. And he fills them with the Holy Spirit to help spread the truth. But the main one he sends to do this work is the Spirit of the Lord. The third person in the Trinity. All truth. So that's how important it is. He promises the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Are we finding out how important this is? God's Word, the truth. And then thirdly, not only is it important because it's heavy upon the heart of our Lord Jesus, not only is it important because he sends the third person of the Trinity on this vital work, but it's also important to the Holy Spirit himself. It's not just important to the Son of God, it's also important to the Spirit of God himself. In fact, we could say it's important to all the persons. It's important to the Father, because the Father gives the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's important to the Son, because the Son sends him. And it's important to the Holy Ghost, because he comes. He comes. And he takes up his work very seriously. The Lord Jesus said, when he's come, he'll guide you into all truth. And so he will. And he'll speak. And the other verb that is used several times there is, he will show. He'll show the things to come. He'll take the things of myself and he'll show them. He'll show them unto you. So the Spirit of the Lord, he's going to get really involved in this work. He's going to be active, and all the verbs are referred to him to show and to take the things of Christ and to show them. He's just involved in this whole business of guiding us into truth. It's very important to him. He gave us the Bible. He gave us the New Testament. He gives us the Christian ministry. And he gives us the gifts of knowledge and the gifts of teaching and instruction, so that this business of the truth might go into all the earth. So it's really important to the Holy Ghost. He's engaged in that whole business with all his power, with all his might. So clearly, it's vital to him. That's why he's come. That's why the Holy Spirit has left heaven and come, that he might teach us and guide us into all truth. So it's on the heart of the Holy Ghost. So I have to remind you, as I remind myself, that this is nothing to be bored about. Truth. This is nothing to be uninterested about. Doctrine and the teaching of God's Word. Because the Spirit of the Lord, it's his work. It's his business. So I think, brethren and sisters, that a neglected Bible is an insult to the Holy Ghost. And there is no greater way to grieve the Holy Ghost than to neglect his truth. And that includes the neglect of a pulpit ministry where there's a preaching of the truth every week. You know, you're not insulting the minister when you neglect that. You're insulting the Holy Ghost. You're insulting the Spirit of truth when you have contempt for the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. And the neglect of the ministry and the neglect of the truth, I have to say it, it's a contempt of the Holy Spirit, who's given the truth, who's given the pulpit ministry, who's given the gifts of instruction, and who's given his Holy Word, that if we just cast that all aside and neglect that, It's one of the greatest despites you can do to the Holy Ghost. And it's one of the easiest ways whereby we can grieve the Holy Spirit. So I have to remind you of that, congregation. Don't neglect your Bible. And don't neglect the preaching of the Word. Because you do injury and insult to the Spirit of the Lord. And that's an awful thing. So it's important to Christ and it's important to the Holy Spirit. But it's also important for the salvation of our souls. That's the fourth thing. It's important for the salvation of our souls because the truth that we're talking about is saving truth. It's a truth without which we cannot have salvation. We're not talking about scientific truth. We're not talking about electricity or magnetism. We're not talking about physics. We're not talking about the laws of motion or anything like that. We're not talking about biological truth. We're talking about the truth of salvation. Saving truth. You can't be saved without the truth. And you can't be saved without all truth. You need to know all the truth about yourself and all the truth about your Savior in order to be saved, so it's important. It's the truth that leads to salvation. The truth about your soul. The truth about being right with God. That's the truth that the Lord Jesus is talking about. So there is nothing more important to us than the salvation of our souls. If you care for your soul, you should care for the truth of God's Word. If you care to have everlasting life, then you should be caring for the truth that leads to that everlasting life. That's why it should be important to us. Our soul salvation hangs on it. This is an area we do not want to be mistaken about. The salvation of our souls. This is an area where we don't want to get it wrong in the brief life that we have on earth. We need to know and we need to be sure. And the only way we can be is through the truth. The truth of God's Word. All the truth of the Lord Jesus. So it's important. It's important for your soul's salvation. It's important also in knowing Christ. It's the only way we can know the Lord Jesus is to know His truth. You don't get to know the Lord Jesus or to discover Him anywhere else. He's not going to appear to you. You're not just going to make up what you think about the Lord Jesus, what He's like. You can't do that. There's people who do that. They make up this image of Jesus Christ that's not real. The only way you can know Him really and truly is in His truth and through His Word. There's no other way. And the Spirit of God doesn't use any other way. It's not by images, either mental or physical. Whether the church produces them or you produce them or the devil produces them or whoever produces them. It's only the truth of God's Word that will reveal to you Jesus Christ. You'll only get to know Him in the truth. He Himself is the sum and substance of truth. The truth is Christ Himself because He said, I am the truth. And when the Spirit guides us into the truth, He, as He says later on, He takes the things of myself and He shows them to you. And so we need the truth to know Jesus. We need the truth to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus. And our Lord Jesus Christ should be our greatest interest. To say you have no interest in doctrine. Oh, I have no interest in doctrine. I have no interest in theology. I have no interest in the truth. Well, you know something? To say that is basically to say, I have no interest in Christ because He is the truth. He is theology and its sum and substance. He is the most important person to us sinners. And therefore, the truth that leads us to Him should be the most important truth to us. But this truth also is essential to our holiness of life, to our warfare against sin. All truth. That's the only thing that will make us holy. You know, it's nothing else will make us holy. Everything else makes us carnal and slack and negligent. Everything else dulls our spirit. Entertainment and everything else. It's only the truth quickens us. It's only the truth cleanses us. It's only the truth humbles us. It's only the truth purifies us and makes us holy. It's essential for our being made conformable to Christ. Now, that's why it's so much upon his heart. Christ wants his people to be like him. The instrument of doing that is the truth. There's no sanctification without the truth. That's why Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's important for our holiness. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What makes you free from your evil habits? Your power, your resolve, your vows and your promises? No. The truth of God. The truth frees us from the wicked one. The truth breaks the chains of sin that bind us. Sanctify them through thy truth. The truth will make you free. We need the truth. The Lord wants us to be a free people. He wants us to be a liberated people. He wants us a people to have liberty, the freedom and liberty of the sons of God. But there's none of that without the truth. Remember how he said even earlier on to his disciples in this discourse, he said, now are ye clean through the word. The word makes us clean, makes us holy. And why are God's people not as holy today? We all read Christian biography, and I know when it comes to write the biography of an old saint, I know there can be exaggeration, and they don't tend to write about the faults of the old saints. You just really read the good and the positive things. But whenever we read the biography of the old saints, and we feel that we lack today, that we're not the same league, that we're just not in the same league at all. And why is it? Why are Christians today worldly and slack? And I think surely the reason must be found in this very area, that we're not being exposed to the truth to the same extent and the same degree. We're not reading our Bibles the same. We're not having the ministry of the word the same. The preaching's not the same. And the exposure to the word of God isn't the same. And I think that grieves the Spirit. And when the Spirit's grieved, his ministry is hindered. Teaching and truth becomes relegated. And the Spirit doesn't work without that. We must never relegate the truth. And I think this is happening in our day and age. And it can even happen in our own churches, where it can just be pushed into the corner, a wee appendix at the end, the preaching and ministry of the word. And that shouldn't happen. I think there's no greater way to grieve the Spirit and to lose his power among us. We mustn't let other things take over from preaching and the centrality of the word. This is very important. Nothing else will make us strong, brethren and sisters, except the truth. That's why whenever Paul was describing the armor, the Christian armor, he had a great emphasis on the truth and the word of God. Remember how he said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. It's part of the Christian armor. The loins are the strength. We stand on our legs and on our loins, and if you get your loins injured, you're just a cripple. You just have to lie in bed all day. Or somebody push you about in a wheelchair. To be strong, we have to have our loins girt about with the truth. With the truth. All the truth. You'll not be strong. You'll not walk for God. You'll be a cripple. You'll be in a spiritual wheelchair. And maybe that's what's wrong with the Christian church today. Maybe everybody's going around in spiritual wheelchairs because they don't have the truth and they don't want the truth and they're not interested in the truth and the truth has been pushed out of the pulpits. Remember how he said, take the shield of faith. That's another word for the truth, the faith. The faith. And the very shield that guards us from the assault of hell is the faith. But to take the faith. Oh, I'm not interested in theology. I'm not interested in the creed. I'm not interested in the confessions of faith that set forth the truth. I'm not interested in the faith. Are you not? Well, then you have no shame. You'll be hit with every dart that's going. You'll be blew about with every wind of doctrine. You'll not be strong. You need the truth, don't you? The shield of faith. And then you remember how he said, take the sword of the Spirit. Because you have to go on the offensive as well as be defensive. You have to go on the offensive as well at times. And what do you need for that? You need the Word, the sword of the Spirit. You need the truth. The truth. Do you want to do harm to the enemies of God? The only way you'll do it is the truth. You'll not do them harm with your sarcasm and your jokes and attacking their personality and their persons. That's not how you do it. You have to use the truth, the Word of God. And so, it's so vital for our own holiness. And I'll tell you something else, congregation. It's essential for your comfort. There's no comfort without the truth. It's vital to know all the truth for your spiritual comfort. And I remind you that comfort is something the Lord Jesus is interested in. In this very farewell discourse, didn't he say, let not your hearts be troubled? And didn't he promise them the Comforter? There's not another name for the Spirit of Truth. Another name's a Comforter. So he's the Comforter and the Spirit of Truth. Does that mean it's two different things? No. He comforts with the truth. And there's no comfort apart from the truth. No real comfort. No real comfort. The reasons why we're not comforted in the way we ought is because we have unclear and obscure views of the truth. That's why. How much happier we would be if we attained more unto the ministry of the Holy Ghost and were taught of by Him and listened to His truth. If we had more of His guidance into all truth, we'd be far less distressed. We'd be far more able to cope with trials that we're going to meet in life. We'd be far more equipped to go through the storm. If we were concerned about the truth, and if we were taught by the Spirit of God, we'd be strengthened for the storm, we'd have joy in the storm. That's why we have our doubts and fears. Why do we have doubts and fears? Because of this very matter. The truth drives away your doubts and your fears. If you're taught of the Lord, you'll have less doubts and less fears. Why are our consciences often so much disturbed? Why are Christians so much troubled, for example, by past sins? Why? Because of obscure views of the truth. That's why. Because they don't have the right views of Christ's blood and righteousness. They don't have right views of their justification through grace. And that's why they don't have the comfort and the assurance. And of doubts. You need the truth for your assurance. You need it for your joy and your gladness. How sad we become. But just a glimpse of Christ and His truth will drive all away. Truth is like the sun. It brings us into life and liberty and warmth and gladness. It's darkness. And it's hiding from the truth that brings us into misery. If you hide from the truth, if you put yourself away from the truth and just don't bother with the truth, that just makes us more miserable. It's exposure to the truth that makes us joyful and happier and glad. We need it. We need it for our joy and gladness. This darkness prolongs our misery. The devil would bury the truth and he'd leave us miserable in darkness. But not the Lord Jesus. No. He will send us His truth and He'll send us the Spirit of truth and He will guide His people into all truth that they might have the comfort and joy of it and the gladness that comes from it. It's also important for your usefulness in the world and especially your usefulness as a soul winner. And your usefulness as a parent and bringing up your children right. And your usefulness as a Sunday school teacher. And my usefulness as a minister. Our usefulness is only as great as the truth of God in us, influencing us. You can do no good to anybody unless the truth of God is in your heart and soul, and it saturates your being, and you spread it and talk about it. It's the truth. And so that's why it's very important. Just some closing application points. Brethren and sisters, we have to thank the Lord Jesus for giving us the truth, the New Testament. I have to thank Him for giving us the New Testament. And I have to thank Him and praise Him that He gave us the Spirit of God. We should thank our Lord Jesus that He sent the Spirit of truth. So that's something we should do. Don't be unthankful. Don't be unthankful for the Holy Ghost. Also, this should teach us, secondly, that we should make the truth of God something that's of primary importance in our lives. I hope you see that. Make it so important. Let us give God's Word first place. First place. Let us read God's Word. Let us attend the preaching of God's Word. Let us thank God for the ministry. It's not a ministry without fault. I know that. But it's better than no ministry. And it's better than a ministry where the truth is not important, where it's all about entertainment and getting the crowds in and keeping people happy. I was never good at that. But I do endeavor to preach the truth. So for the truth's sake, appreciate the ministry and attend it. And the Lord will bless us as we grow together in grace and seek to go on as a congregation. So make the truth of God something that's important and vital in your life. And let us assess every church by the place that it gives to God's Word. If the truth is the main thing in that church, that's a good church. Maybe we change, we have to go and live somewhere else. What's going to determine our judgment about where we worship? The truth. Where does the truth stand in it? Is the Word relegated? Then if it is, that's not the place to go. Or if that happens in a good, it can happen in a good church where the Word goes, where the truth emphasis is not there anymore. And then I think to you, that's the time to go. So it's important. So important. Even come to the choosing of a church, so important. And then lastly, let us pray for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. We might have the truth, but we need the Holy Ghost, don't we? It's not the minister gauging the truth. It's the Spirit of truth that does it. And we have to pray for Him. And we have to ask Him that He work in us. And whenever you pray for the ministry every Sunday morning, I trust you do, don't only pray for the ministry of the minister. Pray for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. The real ministry is His ministry. You need Him. What kind of minister do you need? You need the Holy Ghost. He's the best minister of all. Make Him your minister and get Him to guide you into truth. So pray for the Holy Spirit.